We're going to have a prayer real quick. just for a lot of things. And I want to mention a few things. First of all, you know you've got a lot on your mind. When this morning I came up here, and I like to get here early, and then I'll go and pick up Anna and come back for practice. So I figured I had a long weekend, so I needed to make up some points in the husband of the year race. So I texted my family and said, would you guys like me to pick you up a croissant for breakfast? And they said, oh, great, yeah. So I went to the Burger King that has the croissants they like. And I ordered the croissants, and I drove through, paid, came home, got out of the vehicle, and I looked, and I said, where'd the croissants go? I ordered the croissants, drove to the window, gave the lady my debit card, put it, and I took off. And I'm standing there like, well, I better go back and get them. I paid for them. But I was kind of embarrassed to show my face. And so I did. And I walked in, and the lady looked at me and said, are you okay? I said, I'm about to go preach. that isn't a good endorsement from our church. This guy, they don't even know. I think some of you have seen this or known this, that Joe Lovelace passed away. It gets better. I know John Lovelace, he was Gary's uncle and Becky's uncle and others, but he was also, I think he was an ordained minister and came out of this church and did a lot of good work in our denomination, mission work, mission-minded, and so we're going to have a prayer and just thank God for this person, because it's very important having somebody come up from the church that goes out and does that. And then one more thing I want to see is I believe, and this is one of the things that I'm very passionate about, I believe that we have more than unites us than divides us. And I'm talking about followers of Jesus as a whole. So I'm very passionate about people coming together as different churches and doing things together, and we're all in this together. And many of you know, I'm not going to go into details. Some of you know what's going on. That one of our churches in town, Harmony Free Will Baptist Church, is going through a difficult situation. And right now, today, a good friend of ours, Bud Ross, is there preaching for them. And he contacted me and said that I'm going to preach some words of hope and healing. He said, is there anything you would like me to share with them from the covenant family? And I said, absolutely. Tell them we love them and we're praying for them. Okay? So let's have a prayer. God, oh, we love you and we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you that even when things are chaotic, when we've had long weekends, and when we forget to pick up our food, that you're still there to love us and to put us together. God, we thank you for the life of John Lovelace. Impacted so many people, such a great saint in your denomination and in your church, who's now resting with you. God, we pray for the Harmony Free Will Baptist Church as they go through a time of healing. Bring peace, bring comfort. We pray for every church in our community, everyone who is meeting this morning, that we somehow feel connected to them, that we are a part of a larger body, even though we are here. And we ask blessings on those services as well, and that people there need to hear what they need to hear, as we do here as well. God, we just thank you that you're gracious and that you're loving. And despite the ways in which we are imperfect, you meet us there, and you love us anyway. So God, we just ask that you open our hearts and minds so we can hear and feel and see you. In the resurrected name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. We're just going to get right into it. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 36. When the Pharisees heard that he being Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. So the Sadducees had come and tried to trick Jesus. Well, now it's the Pharisees' turn. This happens a lot. It's almost like a tag team of a wrestler. All right, we're getting whooped. Come next person up. And so now it's the Pharisees come. And right off the bat, the scripture tells us that they're coming with bad intentions. Their intentions aren't pure. They're not asking Jesus something so they can learn something. They're trying to test Jesus. And they ask him, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Now, this is a very legitimate question. These people, in their history, in their past, have a set of 10 laws. We call them the 10 commandments. And they lived by these 10 commandments. Well, sometimes the interpretation of these 10 commandments can go different sorts of way. For example, one of the 10 commandments is, "Do not take the Lord's name in vain." Well, what's that mean? How do I know if I'm doing that? How do I know if I'm not doing it? So these people came in that were very experts in the law, and they would define further laws off of this one law. Oh, this is what it means to keep the Lord's name. This is not it. This is not it. This is. And so off of this one commandment, you could have 80 different laws that you had to follow. Same thing with remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means you can't work. Well, define work. Well, is this work? Is that work? And out of this law came. Anyway, short story long, in the Old Testament, they ended up having 613 laws based off the Ten Commandments. Little much. So they realized, you know, we can't really keep all of these laws. So there started to become this view that some laws carried more weight than other laws. And it was really out of this tradition that rabbis began to surface. Jesus being a rabbi, rabbi tradition is not that old when Jesus comes on the scene in the grand scheme of things. And their job was to interpret laws and put weight on laws. I think this law is a little more important. I think this law is a little more important. Let's try to focus on this one instead of this one. Well, so that's what they're coming with Jesus, a legitimate question. All right, Rabbi, what's your view? Which one of these laws has the most weight? Of course, we know what Jesus said. He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Now, this is one of the 613 Deuteronomy law. You can find it in the Old Testament. So this is it. You love your God. And then the second, and they're like, "We just asked for one, but go ahead." The second is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So Jesus says, okay, yeah, you want me to ask what's the greatest? First, love God. And also, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he goes on to say this. "On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets." We've got 613 out there. And Jesus is saying, is what I'm trying to tell you, if you just do these two, the other 611 are going to fall into place. He's also saying this. If you do all 611 and you don't do these two, it's not going to work either. All the law and prophets come on these two. Now, last week we ended the sermon talking about John. And John says something similar. John 13 verse 34, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. You should love one another. By everyone you will know that you are my disciples if you have love for another." Now, one of the things we talked about is that sometimes we have different denominations, different views, different things because of different interpretations on different things on what it means to be a Christian. But Jesus is very, very, very clear. We ended this last week by saying Jesus is very clear. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, there's not much room for interpretation, is there? It's loving each other. And there's something right off the bat that is connected with loving God and loving each other. So what I want to do today is something that I've been avoiding my whole life. I've made excuse after excuse after excuse why I shouldn't love my neighbor sometimes. Amen? I mean, and I've even made them to you. Right? I know God calls me to love everybody, but there's some people that are just, unlovable. So you know, if you stab me in the back, you know, God, I can't do that. Here's what I've realized when I started diving into this. If there is somebody that I encounter that I do not show love to them, that is not their problem. It's mine. Jesus doesn't say, yeah, just show love to the people that do you right. No. My problem is I have to learn how to love that person in spite of sometimes who they are. So here's the question I want to ask today for us. How do we, in light of Jesus calling us to love God, to love our neighbor, Jesus calling us to love as he loved, what does that look like? What does it look like? How do we simply not just talk about it and go out and make excuses? Well, you know, that person, they're just so unlovable. How do we actually put hands and feet on that? Because there's some things that I've for much challenged myself, because this is hard. Loving your is not an easy thing. But I truly believe in my heart that if we actually not simply listened to what Jesus said, but did what Jesus said, our lives would be a lot better. I don't think we would have had a civil war. I don't think we would have had slavery, at least not as long as we did. I don't think we'd have had any sort of conflict, division, if we would have truly, as people who put on this mantle of Jesus Christ, went out and lived this like he called us to do. I know my marriage would have been healthier, been a lot less bumpy. All my relationships that have had division in it would have been a lot better. And so I want to give you a couple of things that I'm trying to do myself and invite you to join me. Several years ago, when I was still in Arkansas, my brother and I were going to do a barbecue competition. And we'd been doing several that year. That was the year we did a lot. And we had a Facebook page just for Arkansas barbecue dudes. And people going here and there. Well, two dudes, one of them I knew, one of them I didn't. And I asked this dude, do you know this dude? And they said, no, I don't know this dude. They got into a political discussion, which is forbidden on the barbecue Facebook page. Take that junk elsewhere. And they got into it, and blah, 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 blah. So they got shut down. Well, turns out that next weekend, guess who is going to both be at the barbecue competition? These two hombres. It was like, oh, man. I was like, because the dude I knew, I was like, come on, man. Let's just, we're chill. Chill, we're here. We're having fun. And so we get there, and that dude comes across the parking lot. They're about to meet. And so we kind of like, and they're thinking, blah, blah, blah. So that night, it was the night before, and if you've ever been, it's kind of low-key because you get up early and cook. We invite this dude to come over and hang out with us. He starts sitting by this guy, the guy that we don't even notice. 2 hours later, they're laughing. You would think they were best friends from long ago. They found, you know what they discovered when they begin to talk and sit down by each other? That we have more in common than we do different. And we actually have a lot in common. And you're really cool. And you're really nice. And all of a sudden, this animosity and this was gone. And what took the place is two people loving each other. I am a firm believer that one of the things that prevent us from loving each other or prevent me from loving each other is that I so many times base my view and my perspective on things I don't know about you. That's why gossip is so deadly. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about so-and-so? No, tell me about so-and-so. Well, maybe you ought to go talk to so-and-so. Right? When did we become a people that somebody that might have we move away from people, and maybe the Christian message is to move closer to people. I mean, we say this all the time. So-and-so did this. I can't understand why they would do it. Well, why don't you go understand it? Why don't you make an effort to understand? Not saying you'll agree. But somehow in understanding is a step in the right direction. I mean, I had this happen to me. Somebody did something to me that I took it against me that I didn't understand. And, you know, I was struggling with it. Finally, I just picked up the phone and called. Hey. And they explained to me. And while I still kind of had a disagreement on the thing, at least I what? Understood. Okay. I understand why you are doing this. Maybe the first step to loving someone is not further away, but closer together. Every one of you in this room has one thing in common. You have more than you know in common, but one of the things you all have in common is you all have a powerful story. And that is your story. And it's unique to you, and some people might not even know it. But every one of us have a story. And one of the things that Jesus is constantly doing, every person he meets, he is so interested in their story. Hey, Zacchaeus, come on, let's go to your house, man. I want to talk to you. Hey, Matthew, your tax collector, come on, I want to go to your house. Jesus is so interested in listening to people's story. And when we hear people's story, instead of brushing them off, there's some sort of connection, something we learn, a step in the right direction, which begs this question for us, a community of believers who follows Jesus. We should be the kind of place where anybody can walk through those doors and tell their story and not fear to being judged or condemned, but loved and accepted. We, as the body of Christ, are the kind of place that we listen to people's stories and love them in spite of that. It's a place of honesty. When do we become a place where people, oh, I can't go say that there? No, this is the place where you come and you're loved and your story is accepted. And for some reason, we don't want to hear that or push that away. No. The way to love, the first step of love is to not step away from someone, but perhaps towards someone. I believe that all of your stories, my stories, are shaped by two types of people and two types of people only. Two types of people and two types of people only. People who have hurt us and people who have loved us. Our story is shaped by people who have hurt us and people who have loved us. And if you look back on your life, those are the moments that stand out. The pain, that they cause, or the healing. I was reading an article recently about a guy. He was grown up now, but when he was a kid, he was a victim. He was a victim of a priest during the time when all this scandal was going on. He was a victim of abuse by a man of faith. And he tells a story about how much he admired the man, respected the man. He was the holiest man he knew. He quoted more scripture than anybody out. He knew the Bible inside and out. He prayed 3 times a day. He actually knew what the Apostles' Creed meant. And yet, in the end, he hurt another person. And this kid, he's grown up, and he's actually going to seminary now, which is like, wow, that would. And he said, no. Here's what he's saying. On the other end of that, I found someone. I met a lady who she couldn't even read. And she healed me by simply loving me. You see, you can believe all the right things. You can say all the right things. You can have the right perspective, the right theological stance, the right interpretation. But Jesus is like, that's only the 611. There's two you're missing, and they're really the most important thing. Or what is it what Paul says? Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians, you know, I can have scripture, and I can have all this, and I can have all this, but if I don't have love, I'm just a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Being a person of love means that your behavior is more important than your belief. What you believe is not near as important as how you behave. Love is an action. It's not an idea. It's not a thought. You can believe it, but how we behave. I mean, Jesus, he never says this. He never says that. This isn't the commandment. I think next slide. I give you a new commandment, that you believe all the right things, just as I have believed the right things. You should believe the right things. By this, everyone will know you're my disciples because you have believed the right things. That's not what it is it? Now, what are you like, well, what are you trying to say, Duan? That believing is not a good thing? No, believing is a wonderful thing as long as it leads you to show God's love in action. And if it doesn't, then you probably need to change your belief. The end result is always showing God's love in action. And if you believe something and it's not leading you to that, I'm just willing to bet it's not of Jesus. I'm going to say something I think we all agree on. Somewhere, the Christian people, the Jesus-following people, the church, and I'm going to say the church as a whole, has lost our influence, our leverage in society. Can we agree on that? I mean, way back when, 1,000 years ago, when Christianity became official religion, it was the force that created and destroyed empires that were oppressive. Even in our country, it was the and somewhere we've lost the leverage and the influence of our society. And I've recently changed my belief why I think that is. I used to think it was their fault, turning your backs on Jesus. I used to think it was their fault, the politicians. It's our fault. Because we've decided we want to argue more about the right way to believe than we want to do the right way of loving others. And if we could somehow get back, quit arguing over what's the right way to believe and the right way to think, instead of just simply going, hey, how can I be a servant to you? How can I concentrate on loving this person that I don't love? I think if we would have done that years and years and years ago, we would have had a lot less wars and conflict and pain in our life. And I think we, and I say we, as a church, can make this powerful statement. Everyone will know we are Jesus' disciples because we love one another. I would love, wouldn't you love, somebody to walk in here, not even know who we are, and walk out and say, them people are followers of Jesus because they love everybody. Them people are followers of Jesus because they love everybody. I walked in that place, and I had all this guilt, and I had all this shame, and I had all this baggage, and you know what? Not one of them gave me a crossways look. Not one of them gave me a crossways thought. They put their arms around me, and they love me unconditionally. Those are Jesus followers. That, folks, changes the world. And you've all been there because I've been there in a place where I felt so unworthy, so down and out. And God sent someone to wrap their arms around and say, I love you anyway. That changed my world. And our job, I won't even say our job, our opportunity, our privilege is to go out and change the world by showing this unconditional, reckless love to all people. That's what the people found in this early church that was growing leaps and bounds and bounds and bounds. It's because they loved each other. Despite all the petty stuff that people try to throw at them to divide, because that's a reality, folks. People are trying to divide us. And it breaks my heart. So what we're going to do to end this service is we'll do something we hadn't done in a while in this church. We're going to have communion. And I've said this many times. The root word of communion is community. Those of us coming together. And again, I always picture that disciples table, the 12, every one of them, different views, different opinions, different thoughts, different, all of them. And Jesus brings them all together. So let's put that junk aside. We're gonna concentrate on something that we can all agree on. And so this morning, we're going to have two different lines. We're going to have one that has bread that's been pulled apart for you and a cup. And then over here, we have the prepackaged kind that everybody loves. If you feel safer coming to get that, I invite you to come get that. But here's what I want you to do when you come forward. I'm ready to join you. And I would love for you to join me and all of us. Let's take a step forward towards people in love. Who is that person that you're like, I can't love them? Okay, you only get one. I know all of us got four or five. I invite you to come forward to get some elements of grace for you to pray. Tomorrow, I'm going to ask them something about their story. Tomorrow, I'm going to step towards them somehow. It's one step. It's a process. One step. And I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to dim them. I'm not going to critique them. I'm simply going to listen. You never know. You might find a friend. You never know. You might lose an enemy. And I think that's something we can all agree on. We need more of in our world. God, we love you. We know you love us. Give us strength and perspective to love each other. People wrong us, we know. People hurt us, we know. But God, as your followers, don't let us dare be those people. We're better than that because we took the title of your disciple. And so remind us when the world wants us to follow in the ways that they go and wants us to treat people the way they treat us, we're better than that. And we step towards people. We forgive people. And we love people. And God, we're going to acknowledge today we struggle with that. And we need your help. We need your help. So as we come and we take this bread and we take this cup, the ultimate elements of your true love and symbols of your Son who came to show us the ultimate love. Let us take hold of what we need to take hold of. And maybe what we need to leave here. Help us. Maybe it's a grudge or maybe it's some vindictive attitude we have. Help us to leave this here. And to step forward with an attitude of love. Because when others don't feel loved by us, that's our problem. That's our problem, God. And hopefully one by one, people can see us and look at us and say, there goes one of your disciples. So bless this bread and bless this cup. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. On the night that Jesus was arrested and betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body and it's broken for each and every one of you. And whenever you eat it, remember me. And then he took a cup. And he said, this is a symbol of my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. For the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink it, remember me. I want to ask the elders to come forward who are going to be serving this morning. And if you want to come forward, if those in the back want to come forward first and then kind of gradually funnel up here so that we don't get bottlenecked together, I ask you to do that. But these are God's gifts to you. Forgiveness, love, and grace. And let us take them in and then take them out to the rest of the world. I invite you to come.